This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by PRMIseattle.com, Primary Residential Mortgage. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in the media?
There is a public disclosure exemption law that is currently being discussed and potentially will be voted on next week, next Wednesday, that impacts the media. This is not a media bill, per se, but it impacts the media in a very big way. And it would stop us from having access to certain materials that we use as we're covering different news stories and trying to uncover whether or not something wrong happened, an abuse of some kind. And this year, the Democrats have gone all in and said, we are going to actively try to stop you from enjoying your First Amendment rights. You have Governor Jay Inslee coming out with a law that's being pushed through right now in the Senate that would punish speech about election integrity that he disagrees with. Presumably, though, only if Republicans engage in it, because apparently Democrats can now say that all of our elections are going to be scams. But unfortunately, in this case, it's not just Democrats who are supporting it. We have Republicans as well. For example, Representative Mike Volz, friend of the show, Jenny Graham, Rob Chase, state representative, has signed on as a sponsor to this particular bill. Our friend, Representative Caldier, Michelle Caldier, is also on board, and some others. This is a bill that would exempt from release 911 audio if the person on the 911 call is a minor. This would also be extended to minors who are deceased at the time that a media outlet tries to gain access to this. Not just media outlets. Anyone can put in a public disclosure request. Because it would change the law to say a child's voice would be protected from disclosure. Now, part of the reason why I presume some of these Republicans are on board is out of respect to the victim and the victim's family. Something I totally understand, which is why you should be sensitive when talking about victims who are children. I totally get it. But this bill is awful, and it is an affront to our free speech rights, in particular, the news media, who sometimes rely on these phone calls to get a better understanding of a crime that has been committed. Today, there was a committee hearing, and it was open for public comment. I believe in total, there were something like 19, 20 people who spoke. Only one person was in support of it. Someone who is tied directly to the issue that makes this so sensitive. Someone who lost his daughter to violence.
Keep in mind, all we're asking for is parental permission for a voice recording, just like an image, to be released. The media has implied that their use of discretion is all that's needed, but that may be true for a reputable media, but it can't, like I said last year, they can't speak for the TMZs of the world, Snapped, People.com, all the other paparazzi, national paparazzi that approached me.
So what he's arguing is that he has no problem with quote-unquote reputable media outlets getting access to this. It's the other kinds, the ones that aren't so reputable, the ones that he doesn't like. And certainly he's well within his right to call out certain outlets as irreparable. But, I mean, why would the government get to decide, effectively, what media outlets have access to newsworthy information? Why might someone want a 911 call in which a minor is involved? What's one reason that you can think of maybe off the top of your head? Maybe an investigation into whether or not that 911 operator actually did his or her job when getting called by that minor. Did that operator actually take the call seriously? Was the operator rude and dismissive to the point where maybe the minor hung up and then as a result ended up becoming the victim of a crime? This is how we put pressure on governmental agencies when there is an abuse of power. What if that minor is calling 911 to report the fact that he or she has been the victim of abuse at the hands of a lawmaker? So now the lawmaker is going to preemptively give themselves cover in case that were to happen, as unlikely as it is to occur. These are actual stories that matter. And sometimes you need the audio to play on the radio or on TV to really put the point across as to the abuse that took place. And media outlets, some of which will be irresponsible, perhaps. Irresponsible to one person might not be irresponsible to the other. That's a slippery slope here. What if there is a completely legitimate reason to get this 911 call, but the parent doesn't want it to put out there because they don't want to relive the trauma? Something I totally understand. But what if not covering that story at the behest of a parent or at the will of a parent means there's going to be future victims? The media is supposed to be in a position to weigh that. The public is supposed to be in the position to weigh that. Not the government and not one individual or two individuals who are tied to a crime. That's not how it works. That's not how it's supposed to work, because they are too close to the story to be able to think about it in an unemotional way, the way a media outlet might be able to think about it. Now, a lot of people, like I said, spoke up in opposition to the bill. Here's one person who works in the media.
The death of a child is always tragic. Sometimes when it results from a crime or a public emergency, it is also a government issue. We want our agencies to protect children. And when a child asks for help from an emergency dispatcher, it is important to the public how the system works. The public can't assess that when voices are removed from the public record. Children are among the most vulnerable 911 users, and that makes public scrutiny more important, not less.
That sounds like a compelling argument to me. And now maybe you can't really think about a real life example where this could even come into play. Like, what, how, even for adults, when does that ever come into play? Well, a colleague of mine, actually, my coffee buddy, Brian, he's the program director over at our sister station. He testified. He was asked to testify. I was not asked to testify, which is also kind of weird and a little bit dismissive. And I'm definitely not taking it personally.
As a news radio station, we see all 911 tape as having evidentiary value. A recent example of this, and it was referred to earlier, is the in July of 2021 Richard Sherman audio. Reviewing the audio raised legitimate concerns about how the 911 dispatcher handled the wife's initial call, and King County Sheriff's Office subsequently opened up an investigation into the dispatcher's conduct. We follow ethical guidelines similar to those produced by the RTDNA, and those guidelines ask us to consider the purpose of night airing the 911 call, how stakeholders will be affected, and also what we don't know about the conditions of the call. We believe the decision of whether to use 911
audio wrap up, Mr. Buckaloo.
Should continue to remain a journalistic decision.
You can hear in his voice at the end there a little annoyance, like, who are you telling to shut up? But his point is very legitimate. If this gets voted through, this would be a giant, giant, and I mean giant consequential decision that will silence media outlets and make our communities less safe, because we're not going to be able to go after the people who need that kind of oversight. And that Republicans signed on to this is the most disturbing, even though I'm assuming I understand why they're doing it. They are not thinking this through at all. And they are not going to be immune from my criticism / wrath, depending on the mood I'm in when I decide to write this. Just because the Republicans, they should abandon this immediately, as should all the Democrats. So we'll get more information on this as they head over to the vote. I'd love to hear from you guys, though. Send me a text, 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message and respond. I'll be on Fox News primetime tomorrow. Make sure you check it out over at youtube.com/JasonRants. youtube.com/JasonRants. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The Biden administration.
Yesterday, during the Joe Biden press conference, the president basically said that future elections would not be legitimate if the so-called voting rights bills don't end up getting passed. And we all heard it and we all said to ourselves on the right, huh, I thought saying things like that was treasonous, was un-American. Donald Trump called out some states and how they counted votes and called it fraudulent. And the media outlets went nuts. They went nuts. And they didn't stop. He tried to overthrow an election, which the Associated Press said today in an article. He tried to overthrow an election by going through the motions and actually challenging it in court, losing and then stopping. That's so weird. But when Joe Biden does it and other Democrats do it, not that much condemnation. Now, in fairness, there's been some, no doubt. There have been some people who are calling this out. Dana Bash over at CNN, for example.
What he said was, actually the entire thing, but the first part was probably the most jarring to hear a president of the United States who is not Donald Trump even suggest ahead of time that an election isn't legitimate. Having said that, the important thing to keep in mind is what he was trying to say.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Sorry. When I said that CNN was on it, they were making excuses. What he was trying to say was that, yeah, sure, it would be an illegitimate election, but what he was trying to do was tell you that he likes a law that we should pass, and obviously if he likes it, us here at CNN must like it. What he was trying to say was what he said, which was the election is not legitimate unless you pass the voter rights laws that he wants you to pass. And it's not just him who's saying it. James Clyburn, who's a member of the House leadership, was also on CNN.
Do you agree with what he said in that press conference? Are you concerned that without these voting rights bills, the election results won't be legitimate?
I'm absolutely concerned about that.
Oh, wow. It's weird because when Donald Trump said making all of these changes and going to mail-in voting would lead to a stolen election, it was the end of the world, and you still did not stop talking about it. You can't stop talking about it. You can't quit Trump. Just can't quit him. You can caress him a little less. I mean, give him some space. It's just very clingy, is all I'm saying. Like, you had one night in a tent. Relax, man.
It was like 4 years.
Well, yeah. Fine.
It's always tough to leave a relationship like that.
Yeah, no, I get it. I'm just saying maybe back off just a little bit because you're scaring him away. But this is absurd. I hope you guys can see what's going on, because this isn't even necessarily about the hypocrisy, and obviously it's about that as well. But being called out on this is really an acknowledgement that we all kind of understand what the strategy is. They know they're going to lose in November. They know they're going to lose bigly. They know they're going to lose in a significant way. And they're making excuses for it now. That's good news for us, so long as no one actually believes their talking point. And no one right now believes their talking point about stolen elections, because they've been lying about things for the last year. There's no mess at the border. There's no inflation. COVID, we defeated it. The supply chain issues? What supply chain issues? Weirdly, they've decided to lie about things that are demonstrably false that everyday Americans will experience in some way, shape, or form. So when you say there's no inflation, when there very clearly was, and someone looks at their grocery bill and say, hey, I'm buying the same exact things, well, what I can find on the shelves, and they're more expensive as they were last year. They know what inflation is to them. When they see all of the images of people flooding our borders, the video after video after video guess what? They know when you say there's no issue at the border, they know you're lying. And so coming out there and saying, well, man, this next election is going to be stolen. People are smart. They're smarter than you think. And they're not buying it. And so if come November, God willing, everything continues to go in this general direction where that red wave comes to fruition, maybe we finally pick up a seat here in Washington by getting Kim Schreier, who's a doctor, if you didn't know, out of Congress. If that all happens, they're going to be complaining, oh, the election was stolen. The election was stolen. Then I'm truly curious to find out how CNN responds. I know they're going to respond by either tepidly criticizing, or they'll just go all in and say, yeah, it was stolen. It was stolen. Not that Donald Trump wasn't the victim, but the Democrats were. Kind of curious what happens, but you know what? Go ahead and do that. The American people will know why they voted. They'll be like, yeah, it very clearly wasn't stolen because all my neighbors who used to vote Democrat, in fact, voted for Biden, this time they said, yeah, we're not voting for Democrats because we know what they're doing to our communities. They're not going to buy it. So push it all you want. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Jason's world?
Today's Thursday. What do I normally do on Thursdays?
The Novak team video of the week.
I usually post a video. The Jason Mancho video update, which is what I called it on the sales sheet because I didn't have a snazzy title and I still don't.
How long into it are we? Like 3 months?
We are 3 months. We're in episode number 35.
I think. Wow. 35?
We would have been. Oh. No video today.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah. Because the guy who takes the, who films me and then does the edit got COVID.
Oh.
Yeah. And that means he exposed me to COVID.
The last time that you guys did the video?
Yes, which was last week. Tuesday. He exposed me to COVID and he sent me a text. He didn't even have the courtesy of calling, by the way. He sent me a text.
Oh, grow up. It's 2022. A text suffices everything.
Something along the lines of, you're going to hate me. That was the... I'm pretty sure that's how he started the text message. You're going to hate me. And he told me that he's COVID positive and that, you know, he theoretically exposed me because we were in a room together. Now, when we were filming at the time, we were in the room for maybe 8 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, you're a one-take rants guy.
Yeah, I really am. I'm that much of a pro. We taped a live, baby. And he was in a mask the whole time because we have our rules in the building.
Bull.
But he followed them. So I really, truly wasn't worried. But he kept texting me like, I will feel so bad if I got you COVID. And it got me thinking. One simple thought. As I was taking out the COVID test, because I wanted just to be sure. For reasons I'll explain in a second. But got me thinking, and as I was waiting there for the 15 minutes to be done so I can see whether or not I had COVID. I hope I get it. Because I am going to make him feel so bad.
Because you love making people feel bad, don't
you? I'm going to pretend I'm on my deathbed. I'm going to write a story.
You're going to stage photos.
Co-worker gives a superstar, rising star, rising voice in the conservative movement, COVID. Maybe because he's a liberal. I was going to lean all the way in. And then it showed I was negative. And I was like, damn. But when I first texted him, I was all like, these are inconclusive results. This is not good, man. It's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I made it. I went all in.
Is he still out?
Because I'm a bad person.
Here, how about this? How is he feeling? Is he feeling okay?
I don't know. He hasn't answered a text since he sent that to me. So it's possible that he's not doing so well.
Huh. Interesting. Oh,
you should check on him.
I mean, I feel like you should. You're the one who's been in contact with him.
Yeah, but not after that segment. What if something happened? I mean, his last text to me was literally, I've never felt worse than I do now. It almost feels like it's going to, and then that's it.
It's sent, though, before he finished the sentence?
Mm-hmm. And it's been showing up as he's been typing on my iPhone since he's fine.
But that's why we have no video.
He's fine. I told him that I wished I had gotten it so I could rub it in his face because he showed some semblance of remorse for something he didn't do.
I still can't believe that.
It's not like I would even blame him Why would I blame him?
You would. You love to blame people.
No, I would, but not seriously is my point. I wouldn't seriously. I would, of course, I would blame him, but yeah. I've come into contact with people probably well beyond this one person. So have you. So has everybody.
Yeah, with
that's
the Disneyland.
Life. It's okay. It's all good. I'm okay. I mean, if I died, then he would feel awful. But it's Omicron. Okay, relax.
Yelp, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rant Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, it's 4:30, you know, around that time, which means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services, online at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle, and instead, we focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. And we start in Puyallup, because there was a curious Tacoma News Tribune story online that I found curious because the headline indicated to me something that I didn't think was actually happening. But hey, you know, I only work in news for a living. It's possible maybe I missed this one major story. Here's the title of the TNT piece. Good Samaritan, other hospitals, use refrigeration trailers to expand morgue capacity. Expand morgue capacity. What is the implication of that title to you?
That morgues are filled and we need more room. It's being expanded.
Yeah, they're overflowing with bodies, victims presumably of COVID. And we had, remember, we've covered stories like that before, that they had to expand early on in the pandemic. A lot of those stories, for example, came out of New York, and a lot of the bodies, unfortunately, were coming from senior homes that, you know, Governor Cuomo was putting these sick people into. It's a misleading headline. Well, it's not even misleading. It's a disingenuous headline because I think it's strategic. This was one of those headlines that they created because they wanted you to click it. And then, of course, when you call them out for it, they will immediately say, well, didn't you read the story? And I'll say, yes, I did. Because in the story, it flat out says the reason why has nothing to do with COVID deaths. It said, this is the story. Refrigeration trailers have returned to MultiCare's Good Samaritan Hospital this month in Puyallup, but not because of a rise in deaths from the Omicron variant. Having the three refrigeration trailers will now allow the hospital to, quote, compassionately and safely take care of deceased patients and ensure a process of dignity and respect for patients and their loved ones, quoting the spokesperson. Quote, our capacity is currently limited due to mortuary staff shortages and is not due to a rise in mortality rates. So why not frame it more honestly in your headline? This is not a story about adding refrigeration units. This is a story about the lack of staff at mortuaries. That's what the story is. The result of a lack of staff is having to get to the actual refrigeration units. But the story itself isn't the refrigeration units. The story itself is the staffing situation. So you could have framed it, mortuary staffing crisis hits Washington State. But they didn't. And it's not just because, in my view, they wanted you to click on that story. And in fairness, everyone wants you to click on their stories. I get it. They put it out there because I think they wanted to spread more fear-mongering around COVID. That's what I honestly believe. Now, do I think they wanted to do it for the pure purpose of scaring you? No. I think they wanted to do it most likely to try to convince more people to get vaccinated, even though the vaccination rate in the state is incredibly high. But they're still in the mode of vaccination at all costs, even if it erodes trust in public health officials and public health departments and the medical industry in general, since obviously we know that the Omicron virus is not stopped by the vaccine. That is, I cannot stand titles like that. And I mean, obviously, if I came up with it, I would be able to stand it. I would think it would be brilliant and funny and it would bring me a lot of revenue. But when they're doing it, it's wrong. This is wrong and should be called out. Meanwhile, Clover Park High School in Lakewood adopted a new mascot. They had to get rid of the Warriors because we're pretending it's offensive to Native Americans. We're told we're supposed to be offended by Native American imagery or even vaguely Native American mascots like the Warriors. Like that's offensive? We you don't want to be named a warrior. I thought that was like a good thing. You go to battle. You fight with passion.
Cultural appropriation,
oh,
Jason.
Yes. Yeah, everything's culturally appropriate.
So they got a new mascot, though, right?
Yeah, it's called the Timberwolves, which is offensive to both timber and wolves.
Oh, wow. You're right. They're culturally appropriating the trees and the canine species.
Well, the timber industry has to be considered. They're not having a fun time right now because of all the eco lunatics. And then the wolves, that's an endangered species.
Is it really?
Yeah. In Washington State, they're listed as I think they're still, you Google that.
I wish they would have.
Because they eat all the cattle.
I wish they would have went with the Washington football team as their mascot. The Clover right? Park High School Washington football teams.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, just call it whatever the school, it's Bethel High School. The Bethel High School football team.
Love it.
The Kamiak High School rowing dweebs. Whatever. I don't know why I keep picking on them. just name it after the high school.
Also, why do you think they have rowing?
I feel
like there's like three schools total in this entire state that have rowing, and it's all private. Lakeside's one of them.
The Lakeside Rowing Team. Just name it that. Just get away from mascots. If we're going to pretend that mascots can be offensive when they very clearly are not, then just get rid of all of them. Because if the goal is not to offend someone, you're going to lose that every single time. I imagine there is some lunatic out there who doesn't like the fact that we're naming mascots after animals. It demeans them. It means they're here for our pleasure. Well, I mean, they are.
PETA hates
it. And for food. Let's be honest. But you're always going to offend someone, so then just stop using it if that's your goal. If that's truly your goal. Well, that's not fun. Why would we, we shouldn't have to do that. Agreed. Then you shouldn't give in to this sort of nonsense. I know it's the law, and people should have pushed back harder against the law. In Washington State, you're not allowed to do it unless the tribe that's local to your school gives you permission. And the Puyallup tribe decided we're not going to give any permission. They claimed that the warrior mascot, quote, is too deeply tied to a history of harmful stereotypes to warrant a simple change of imagery. So they wanted to change everything, not just the mascot image. And they don't even argue that it's offensive. They say it's tied to an offensive history. They go on to say on its website in a statement, the tribe expects our school district partners to do their due diligence in researching current mascots, logos, and team names, and making their best effort to address any inappropriate use of Native American names, symbols, or images prior to contacting the Puyallup tribe for input and consultation. Funny thing is, the school board refused to hold a public comment on this. They didn't want to have a public meeting on it.
They probably were afraid that you would show up.
I'm not going to Puyallup. You nuts. It's too far.
You can zoom into any of these.
That's true. That's fair. I probably would have zoomed in. That's fair. I'll give you that one. I don't know what we're doing here. I mean, I know what we're doing, but I don't know why people are just giving in. I refuse to believe, even though Puyallup School District has gone through a pretty dramatic shift in sort of their wokeness, their acceptance of this stuff. And I get that a lot of people don't feel comfortable speaking up and saying anything because they don't want to be ridiculed. They want to be called out. Well, you're a racist then. It's a dishonest way of people shutting you up. And I get why you don't want to have to deal with it. Believe me, I do. But, oh my gosh, at what point are we just going to say no? I'm saying it all the time. And I find myself losing my patience a whole lot quicker. I find myself getting angrier quicker. I find myself, frankly, being more mean, which is hard to imagine.
More mean than
meaner.
Before?
Meaner, meaner, meaner.
Wow. You're like the Grinch, but a meaner, radio host.
But meaner and Jewish, too. So I definitely don't like Christmas. But honestly, I don't care as long as you leave me alone.
The Grinch didn't like Christmas either until the end.
Yeah, but he changed his mind because he has a heart all of a sudden. Yeah.
What a weakling. You would never.
No. Admitting you were wrong? You know who does that? Losers. Weak people. What he should have done was just got rid of the dog. It was the dog's fault.
No, don't blame Max.
It was the dog's fault. You know what that dog did after the movie? After it all ended, that story? Abandoned the Grinch.
Ran away?
Yep.
Well, I mean, maybe just...
To a nice Jewish family who wasn't having to deal with all of the Christmas drama.
Where was the Jewish family in Whoville?
Well, it wasn't in Whoville. He went to the other... We know about Whoville with the rising anti-Semitic crimes there. He went to the town over.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Independent dog.
Yeah. That was in the sequel to the story and to the movies, which never ended up seeing the light of day. Something about appropriation. It's just like, no, it's fine. Whatever.
It's called representation, and they just canned it.
I do. It is kind of interesting that we've gone from the need for representation, a diversity of representation, to, well, no, that's cultural appropriation, though, in that case. So we shouldn't represent and honor Native American imagery that you're not even saying is offensive, but you're saying it's tied to offensive stereotypes that have been used. So we should erase the Native American culture that we had on display and made a key part of our pride in our school. Okay, that makes total sense. So now I guess we will worship a timber wolf. I don't even know what a timber wolf is. That a real thing?
Pretty sure it's just a wolf.
Yeah, but is a timber wolf an actual type of wolf? I don't know.
I don't think so. They're endangered if they are.
Okay. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Yesterday, during this show, during my show prep, I should say, there was another shooting in Seattle. Shocking, I know. A 31-year-old guy ends up getting shot in his hip in downtown Seattle. And it happened at 3rd and Pike in downtown Seattle. This is not a spot that sort of normally peaceful and quiet and beautiful, serene, and people feel safe walking by. No, it's covered, riddled with homeless people and drug dealers. Officers ended up responding, finding a man with a gunshot wound to his hip.
Heard the gunshots and saw through the window, I could hear him just kind of, and he dropped down on all fours. This is actually the fifth shooting I think I've seen in the last 4 or 5 years.
So cops are there. They begin first aid. And as they were doing it, they discovered this dude had a handgun on him. Oh, and a whole bunch of drugs in his waist pack. See, apparently this guy got into some kind of argument with the shooter. The argument that led to the gunfire being exchanged. Apparently lots of bullets were fired. And according to ballistic evidence, a Metro bus was damaged. Now, the cops say they seized 14 grams of heroin, 3 grams of meth, 82 fentanyl pills, and then, of course, his gun. Now, again, unshockingly, the guy has been convicted in the past. He's a convicted felon who's not supposed to carry a gun. Shocking. Again, I know. Of course, this isn't the only crime that recently happened. A man also in Seattle has been charged after punching a dog. Punching a dog, not
kicking
a dog.
What did the dog do to him?
And setting a tent on fire. Oh, is this a homeless? Oh, interesting. Jerome Curry Jr. was charged with arson in the first degree, domestic violence felony violation, felony harassment, and animal cruelty in the second degree. According to the court documents per Cairo 7, police got a report of a man hitting a woman at an encampment. Officers show up. A witness says, it was that dude over there. And so they asked him some questions. They then contacted the victim. At the time, she was crying, she was shaking, she was holding her dog, and told the cops she had to move her tent to stay safe, to stay away from Jerome Curry, because she believed he was stalking her. She said he had previously assaulted her several times before, and that he found her, began to yell obscenities at her, punched her in the face, slapped her in the face. And when she started to yell for help, he kicked and punched her dog. And then took flammable hand sanitizer, doused the woman's tent, and set it on fire. All of her belongings were destroyed. Oh, and as he was burning the tent, he apparently was making threats to her. She says threats to her unborn baby and her current boyfriend. Curry Jr. confessed to lighting the tent on fire. That was his confession. Oh, but we got one more story of Seattle crime. A man was attacked and robbed by suspects impersonating police officers. It happened in a secluded section of a North Seattle hotel parking lot before midnight yesterday. Police said the suspect stopped the victim, ordered him to the ground, zip-tied his hands behind his back, repeatedly kicked and punched him, and then robbed him. They didn't say how many suspects were involved in the robbery, but they said two people impersonating police officers were dressed in black clothing, vests with police markings, and badges. The victim has a gash on his forehead. He was able to free himself and then get help from the hotel staff. In that case, the first thing they would have been the red flag of these being impersonators would be the fact that he was seeing cops proactively, police, because they can't do that in Seattle. We don't have the staff for them to just go about wandering into a random secluded parking lot of a hotel. They can't proactively police, unfortunately. That should have been the tip off. We've got stories like this. Have you noticed every single day? I've been doing this intentionally, telling you these stories every single day, because things are getting worse, and it felt like they couldn't get any worse. But they are. No one really in city is talking about it. Oh, but we got a statement from Bruce Harrell that I'm not going to read because it doesn't mean anything. I don't care about your statements. I care about your actions. Are you going to do anything? I stand for hiring more officers. Cool, so do I. You're in a position, however, to do something about it. I'm not. So what are you doing? Or are we literally doing the same thing, which is talking about it? Huh. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. 1-800-465-8770. It's the Jason Rand Show.